All right, so we're going to go into the heart chakra. This is the one we did not want to do just a half of. Now we get to do the entire chakra. So the location of the heart at the front of the chest, connected to the physical heart, even though the physical heart is to the left. And on the back aspect is between the shoulder blades, connected to the vertical tube with a perpendicular way, if you're looking from the side.
And it's connected to the thymus gland. The thymus gland is usually up a little bit higher. The heart chakra is usually a little lower. But it connects to the thymus gland, which is a immune system gland. And this gland helps us recognize the difference between self and other. So as we use the heart chakra energy in more of an unconditional way, we know that there's a difference between self and other, but we feel like a bond, human-to-human bond, when the immune system recognizes somebody else as not enemy. Say it for the group.
So that kept us quiet.
You're not my enemy.
So the visual, the color, generally it's connected to the green. So on the emotional level, on the second level, the heart chakra is green, kind of pine tree green. On the astral level, it could be emerald green if we're tuning into kindness, or it could be pink if it's a love energy. And on the unconditional level, it's rose, pinkish rose.
If we don't have the emerald green of the self-love, it's really hard to make the shared love, the rose and the other emerald, shared emerald and the pink. It's really hard to make that without the emerald green of self-love.
And the sense that is connected to the heart chakra is compassion.
Compassion is not an idea. It's a felt reality.
It's a communal passion. Compassion. It's not rescuing. It's not saving. It's not taking care of. And the list goes on of what it's not. It's a shared experience of passion of life.
All of the overzealous peacemakers are going to retire after this class. And the function on the front, go to the function category. The function of the heart chakra on the front is compassion, kindness, feeling of love, and connectedness to all of life. You can look at the heart chakra on the front as a bridge between the human personality self and the soul self.
Yeah, when that component of the heart is functioning well, then we have the love energy for everyone. Not just for people we like or we agree with, not only for the ones we know or the ones we think are not going to hurt us, but we have general feeling of love for everyone. And then there's a personal liking or not liking, but love remains even.
The liking or not liking connects to desire, which is more in the second chakra. Mm-hmm. So you can legitimately clean as a master, not like somebody or not like something, but still hold the energy vibration of love. You know how we use love in our language doesn't really work very well for this chakra because we say I love this and I don't love this. But with the love energy, there's no exclusion. There's an openness to everything.
Yeah, the way the word love is used, it's usually meant more like instead of love. And if we don't judge the person we don't like, then we can love them. But if we don't like somebody and then we judge because the solar plexus chakra is not clean, then love cannot happen. Okay, back of the heart, that is the will to act. It's like a big propeller behind your body that's moving you forward. It's ability to choose and move into action, and not necessarily material action. Choosing mentally, choosing internally to not participate in a particular belief pattern anymore because you know better or you have outgrown something. All of those things, that's back of the heart, will to act.
If you are not forgiving yourself for something and you feel more loving and compassion for yourself, and then you can act to forgive yourself, because any action is will-based. So the ability to actually forgive comes from the back of the heart chakra, because you're acting on your own behalf with free will.
When we talk about making an impact or making a difference in the world, it's actually not about the world so much, but about our exercise of free will to act.
That will in the back of the heart chakra is really important for using discipline for anything. Spiritual discipline, mental discipline, a discipline with addictions.
Any accomplishment requires follow through. Otherwise, it's not an accomplishment. So if we decide something, but then we did not follow through, no accomplishment happens. So this chakra of heart on the back creates the pattern that is available for us of choosing, but then we have to apply self-discipline to actually follow through to have the choice show up in our life.
So if back in the second chakra we have the inability to commit, and then in the back of the heart chakra we have not enough will to take action, then we can't use the forward motion of staying with a commitment, because there's not enough discipline in the propeller on the back of the heart chakra. So you can start to see as we go through all these how they link together.
So now we're going to go into the imbalances of the heart. For the front, if that chakra is weak, then we have difficulty loving unconditionally. Our love becomes conditional. It's relating to like to such an extent that it merges with the like. Like or don't like. So I love this person or I don't love this person.
Also, if the heart chakra on the front is really closed, then the person is cold and cruel.
And if there is some flow but it's weak, then we expect to be loved in return, and if we're not, we end up closing the heart altogether.
Thinking that somebody else hurt us, but we just hurt ourselves.
When there's not enough energy running through the heart chakra to begin with, then it almost feels like because we have so little, there's a scarcity. We can only allow ourselves to love the ones who are going to love us back. So then it breeds more of this conditionality of love. And in turn, we actually end up hurting ourselves and not running the energy, because every time we get hurt, we close the heart altogether.
You can actually, well, we can breathe through every chakra with prana, but when you feel the like something opens up your chest, the chakra is literally stretching the physical body tissue to make more expansion. The cell membranes expand, you know, all the bones expand. It's not just, it's the feeling is more from energy to the physical, but the physical body really gets to expand and then release toxins.
So in the counterclockwise movement of the heart, where there is a lot of energy, but it's just spinning in the incorrect direction, that's when we become a people pleaser. We want to love the whole world, give out love.
This, why can't we all get along, the kumbaya thing? Like, oh, let's just love each other, right?
Yeah. And loving is not enough. There has to be identity, inner authority, discipline, all sorts of other patterns. It's a combination of all of it that brings us to consciousness. So this whole idea that if we just love the world enough, then everything will be okay, it doesn't work.
You know how you can love a person in your life, but you have to stay away from them because they're toxic, but that doesn't stop the love. But the inner authority from the third chakra, that would allow you to keep your boundary clean with that person, but the heart stays open.
Yeah, and this is also where the sacrificial pattern comes from. When somebody would give love to another person so much, but the person themselves are not doing the self-loving, so then essentially we're feeding them. It's enabling, it's a form of trying to rescue, but really we're just sacrificing ourselves, thinking that this is benefiting another, but it can't. Because unless that person chooses to love themselves, our love is just a waste on our part. It's not going to help over there.
So when we have that green consciousness love energy on our emotional level, the second level, then as we have a strong green emotional love, then as we transition up into the astral level where we share more with other, then it gets to be that bright emerald green and also the rose pink. So nobody makes rose pink unless they have green. So when people want to share love with each other, but each person doesn't have enough self-love, it just becomes a wrestling match.
And this is also where infatuation happens, not the true feeling of love, but that sort of a hypnotic state of infatuation. That's a rosy energy, kind of a pinkish in the heart. But if there's not enough love for self, so the green did not happen on the second chakra, then the person is sort of like replacing self-love by this hypnotic feeling of fake love, the infatuation that makes them feel as if they are loving self. And that's why that never works.
And it feels kind of sticky and cloying and messy. And, you know, the person's trying to say that there's love being shared, but it doesn't really feel that way.
Yeah, and a lot of people love the state of infatuation, but what we're really after is the feeling of self-love, not the infatuation. Infatuation is a form of addiction. It's trying to get the energy from the incorrect place that sort of makes us feel like as if we're that. It's like using a drug of some sort to get you into a high frequency mode, but it's artificial because the person didn't do his or her own work to get to that state, so it's something else that got them there, which is not productive for enlightenment.
So the back of the heart chakra, when it is weak, and it's clockwise, which is open, but it's still weak, then a person would feel like they have no choice. They're just at the mercy of circumstances.
Or other people.
They have an externalized version of God. God is out there. And they're at the mercy of that God. This usually happens when the front is overactive and draws a lot of energy into itself out of the back.
Yeah, and then it feels like we have like love the whole world. We have no choice, but we just have to love the world or else everything falls apart.
Yeah, all the energy gets pushed to the front and the back closes.
Yeah, when you notice either somebody else do that or yourself do that, a good question to ask yourself would be, well, what would happen if I stop right now? And you would notice that actually the world will still turning, like everything will actually still be okay. That allows us to have a little bit of a perspective to pull the energy of the heart back in from this overextended state. It's like trying to swallow a whole chicken in one bite.
And if the back aspect of the heart chakra is too big, it overrides the feeling nature and the emotional nature of the front, and the person becomes very much mental and conceptual and kind of rule-based.
Yeah, so if the back of the heart is strong and counterclockwise spinning, we project out into the world, which means it would feel like our own higher self and us are in opposition to each other. Because just as Isabel said, the person separates their feeling nature and their active nature, so they would kind of be having a bad stuff about their feelings, like feelings are embarrassing or something. So they would try to be more stoic in the energy of the will. But in doing so, they end up associating themselves more with the ego lower self, not the higher self. So then the higher self, their own wise component, seems like an enemy, kind of like it's telling them to do something and they are at war with it. The same thing like don't tell me what to do, but now it goes against the higher self of that person. They feel that they're like, you know, God tells me to do this, but God doesn't understand me. I have to do this, whatever it is that the ego wants.
Or say the ego wants to maybe drink a lot of alcohol or something, and the higher self doesn't prefer that, right? But then when the person would say, tune in to see if they could get some guidance about it, but they would be resistant because they don't want to hear that they can't drink alcohol, or not can't, but that it's suggested by the higher self, to not do that, so then the person doesn't even bother, they just drink, right? So the idea would be that the person, us, would say, what's on my best behalf, and get the download of, no alcohol is on your best behalf, and then the ego could come forward and say, well, that's not going to happen, I'm going to drink, so let's have authority with it, and then it does less harm in the body, because it's not a child relationship where the soul becomes the parent and then the ego is the kid.
That's fighting back to the soul, you know? Or let's say the person working in a career where they have to put a lot of energy out, and their higher self says that they need to take more time when they're present to themselves and more in the magnetic, and they say, well, I can't do that, because if I do that, then my life falls apart. So then the ego feels like the higher self is trying to sabotage ego's life, when actually the higher self is looking for the benefit of the whole being, but the ego is an illusion. So it doesn't understand that that career is actually an illusion. So then it's fighting back the wisdom of the higher self. That pattern happens when there's too much energy on the back and it spins counterclockwise. So it takes everything from the front, pushes it to the back, and the person kind of has that cobra-like thing in the back. My will be done at all costs.
Now we're moving to the activation category. So when you want to activate the heart chakra, you can tune into obviously the feelings of love. If you want to use, say, the feelings of love for a pet or for a garden or for anything that allows you to really feel that opening in the heart chakra on the front, beautiful sky, whatever it would be, even completing doing the dishes or something or unloading the dishwasher. Oh, that feeling of love, that you've accomplished a task and took care of yourself that way, that's because you love yourself. That opens the heart chakra. And you can also do it more mechanically by lying on a yoga ball and bending over backwards to open the front and the back. You can lift your arms even without the yoga ball and go back and forth gently. If you force it, you can displace a rib, you can do damage to the spinal column. But if you move it forward and then back, and this one would be more like an opening space for the heart, and then this one is the humility enough to use your will correctly, because we have to be humble with our use of will instead of assuming we know.
Yeah, opening up the chest by moving the arms a little bit apart, away. This is good exercise, but remember that the energy here we're talking about, not physical. So this is not about working the body.
Right.
The body is an instrument through which the energy runs, which means if body is too tense, it could be blocking. So this is about taking the body into the smooth flow so then it's not in a way of running energy. But that in itself is not going to help us love ourselves. This is actually more conceptual and experiential.
So if you're doing this thing with more of the mechanical workings of opening the heart chakra front and back, and you do it a few times and then you go into sobbing and crying, that's really good, because then the emotional body gets cleansed because you broke open the dam.
Another way to activate the heart is to look at green color, either emeralds or nature, anything green, or rose, rosy color, literally, flower rose, but any other rose color that helps for the heart if it's in a pinkish variety.
And for the time of day, the evening time tends to be, depending on individuality, obviously, but the evening time tends to be a heart opening time.
And the sound, that's the humming sound, and all those kinds of sounds, the ones that feel like a relief in your body, but have this soft smoothness.
That's why lullabies, which are active or directed into the heart chakra of the child, the lullabies are soft and soothing, and humming, those ah sounds really are beneficial for feeding the heart.
No matter what the words are.
Yeah, no matter what the words are.
Those lullabies.
You can be humming the phone book. And if you are sharing food with people, it's important that you really be open to the people. Otherwise, go eat alone. But if you're sharing food with people you like and love, then that's a heart opener.
Yeah, heart is generally community-oriented chakra. We can have a community of one. That's us with our higher self. So it's a vertical kind of community. Or we can have community with other people, but that is the chakra that's the easiest to share the energy with people that you enjoy spending time with.
And if you're eating alone, you can invite your guides to eat with you?
Or birds.
Or what?
Birds.
Birds? Birds too? Okay, now how this chakra is changing with Pai's presence.
Yeah, we've been talking about how with five we're moving into more of the higher self as the identity, right? So in the third chakra that was all about identity, here it's about will, but it's a divine will as our will versus the ego will. When those two are in competition, then we feel like God or spirit or soul makes us do something or tells us what to do, but we don't want to do it, which means the self is associated with the part of us that doesn't. That's the personal will. But when the personal will becomes the divine will, there is no resistance. We feel one with the soul, and the soul moves us through life instead of our ego moving us through life.
And our personal ego will is always based on, I want this, I don't want this, this is good, this is bad, this will hurt me, this won't. It's always oppositional. And divine will is inclusive. So divine will would be able to instruct us by saying something like, you may feel uncomfortable, you may not like this, but you can see how it helps the development, the mastery, and the waking up process. And then the ego will says yes. And then the two wills are one.
Yeah. And when the person is building the ego self, when that is not built yet, then there's the lower self, which are the fears, and there's this rudimentary ego. That person will, of course, have that lower self and the ego unite together against the higher self. So they would be constantly in the internal rebellion against God, against spirit, against their own soul, because that would feel like an external force that is making things happen in their life that they don't want. Them, meaning the lower self ego. But once the ego personality is more developed and the person is stronger in who they are, that's when the ego can start to conceptually comprehend bigger picture and unite more with the higher self. That's where the personal will and the divine will become one.
And in order to have that happen, we have to have consistent compassion, not incremental compassion or interrupted compassion. It has to be more and more and more consistent within the chakra, and it has to go two ways. The compassion has to go inward and outward. So sometimes people have really good compassion, but it's just not long-term enough, or they have it where it goes out to other, but not into self. So it has to be consistent and out and in simultaneously.
And there's actually a way to have detachment at the same time as compassion. Because compassion is an open heart and co-feeling, but if we don't have any agenda about it, then we're also in detachment, which means we are in the higher self. As soon as we feel the love of compassion, but then we start to have an agenda about what we want that to become externally, we're in attachment, which means we slide down into ego, out of the higher self. And then we end up with a rebellion.
It's
actually to fight each other.
So interesting to not get what we want, because then the creativity from the second chakra, and we'll talk more about how the sixth plays into this, but mostly the creativity can say, well, you didn't get what you wanted, but because you know how to do pleasure, how about this and this and this? And then there's so much more leeway with what can substitute for what we didn't get than ever before. So if you don't get something that you want, then you say, best thing that ever happened to me.
I think it's a Chinese proverb, like, may you never get what you want, like it's a curse. To get everything you want, it's a curse.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have any reason to live. Yeah. So our lower self and our ego are always connected to agenda of some sort. So if you want an easy way to know, am I in the higher self or the ego or the lower self, well, lower self is fear-related defense, right? Ego is agenda-related. Higher self doesn't have any agenda except enlightenment. All it cares about is us to get to the next level of consciousness. But as soon as we start to have agenda in sort of a horizontal way about another person, about circumstance, then it's not anymore a preference. Preference would be, I would prefer for this to work out this way. So this is my individuality going forward and making a statement. I would like it that way. But if it didn't happen that way, I'm not attached. I'm going to now figure out, what does it mean? How can I go into pleasure anyway? Then we're in higher self. But if the preference becomes more of a demand, it clasps onto whatever the circumstances. That's what makes it an attachment, and then it kills compassion. At that point, it's either rescuing or some other version of it, and the will becomes too strong, and we're in rebellion.
In order for us to feel the power of not being attached, we have to be enough. If we're enough, we can be not attached. If we're not enough, we're going to be attached like hell.
And we're enough internally, because otherwise we get attached to something externally making us enough, and that can never work, because then we're back to lower self. It's only the higher self that can actually make us feel enough. Okay, so we're going to go into the experiential part of it. You can put your notes down, tune in, find your heart. Should be that hard. Feel the front of your heart. And feel the back. Notice how those two chakras connect to the vertical tube perpendicularly, two vortices coming together. And pay attention as a witness. What kind of an energy flow is happening there? Is it moving? Is it stuck? Is one chakra much bigger than another?
Whatever one is smaller, move energy into it so that you equalize the amount of energy in both.
If you are too far in your will, you need to open the front aspect of your heart. You can use rosy pinkish energy. Or the other way, if you have difficulty loving self, being in kindness, then use pine tree green. Good. Now on your structured levels, use attitude of having free will and intent of action.
On your fluid levels, hold the feeling of preciousness and the intuition of compassion. Pay attention to your pelvis. A lot of you are holding energy too firmly up in the high chest. So as you're working with your awareness in the heart chakras, drop down into your pelvis too as a reset.
Good. As you're doing that, the pi upgrade, the energy that relates our ego will, the personal will, and the divine will as one, is entering in with the kindness and love for ourselves.
Oh.
That was actually pretty good on cue, because you can come back. I'm just going to say.
Good. So now experience what's going on in your heart. How it's feeling. Front and back. Front is your feeling of love for you. And the back is the will. We were talking about personal will and divine will being one. And the two things we said, if you want to write that down. Attitude of free will. That's the structural side. Intent of action. Feeling of preciousness. An intuition of compassion. Good heart.
Customized. Lots of lavender came into the heart chakras. Okay.
On to the throat.
The location of the throat is the throat. No. So the location for the front aspect of the fifth chakra is the front of the throat. And the back is the back of the throat.
Yeah, back of the neck.
Back of the neck. And this chakra relates to the thyroid. And the visual is blue.
And just like with the other chakras, it's a deep blue in your emotional body. And then it gets a little bit lighter as it goes up in your fluid levels. Still blue. It's pastel on the unconditional love level, so it's just much lighter.
If it doesn't go from the darker hue to the lighter hue, then there's no strength in the chakra, right? Mm-hmm. So the strength is built from the denser colors to the lighter colors.
And also if the person tries to use the deep color further out in the field, mm-hmm. they're not actually using that chakra on the higher frequency level. They're just pushing the lower frequency energy further away from their body, which takes way more effort and it doesn't give you the result.
And it's more like being lectured than communicated with. The sense for the fifth chakra is sound, which are pressure waves of vibration moving through a medium or a substance. And not just audible sound, internal sound, the sound of the cells in the body, or the sound of an energy being. The sound of a planet. The music of the spheres, that idea of the music of the spheres, is the sound that celestial bodies, planets, quasars are making.
Yeah, sound is a resonance, and our throat chakra resonates with that type of resonance consciously. All the other chakras do as well, but that's the chakra that does it more consciously that our awareness can track. This chakra also has to do with our ability to listen to ourselves and to others. You know how there's some people that you talk to and they kind of, but they're not actually like listening to you? Mm-hmm. Or if somebody is more interested in telling you their agenda of what they think you should do instead of actually hearing you, they're not using their throat chakra properly. When we have ability to listen, it doesn't mean that we necessarily have the best advice or something like that. That comes from other components. But ability to listen, it's to create space and hold the resonance of the person speaking to you, so then you're actually sharing the space with them in where they are.
And the receptivity connected to listening goes in line with the anatomy of the nostrils, because the nose is connected to the fifth chakra, but also the mouth and the throat. These are open portals. So when we listen well, we listen deeply into the mouth and the throat and into the nasal passages. And a person can feel if they're listened to, because the person that's doing the talking will feel that all these orifices connected to the throat chakra are open and empty, and that the person is really being received well.
That's how we can know when somebody's speaking, if they're saying what they mean or not. If we're actually able to listen, we will hear all of the person, not just the words. You know how a lot of times the person might be saying something, but they mean something else? Maybe they're saying, oh, I'm fine, but you really know they're not. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're saying, oh, I don't need help, but they really do. Or maybe they're asking for help, but you can feel they're being needy and you better actually say no. Mm-hmm. So that ability to comprehend sort of beyond the literal words is the, through the throat chakra ability to hear, listen, perceive resonance.
My favorite one is, I'm not angry. Somebody says to me, like, I'm not angry. I go, okay, you're not angry, right? No, I'm not angry.
Yeah. Or my favorite is, oh, I'm not scared.
Yeah.
I'm never scared.
I never get angry.
Yeah.
And as we get stronger in the chakra, which we'll go into, then we can actually hear ourselves be false.
That's why sometimes when we speak something and we can hear only after we said it that, oh, that's not right.
And you say redo.
Yeah.
And do it over.
And it's okay to do that. You know, in our culture it's considered once you said it, it's like that's it, it's in stone. But it's not. If you say something and you feel the resonance now needs to be clarified or modified, or maybe the whole thing was incorrect altogether, then say that. Like, okay, do over, not quite what I meant, didn't come out right. Yeah. What I meant is, and then say it the other way, so then their truth is imprinted.
This is really, really important too in terms of not necessarily channeling, but translating the higher self in any chakra, but this is the chakra of expression, right? So if we're saying something, it's like kind of following a map, but we can only see one step at a time. And if we just race to the end of the map without noticing that we're not translating well, right, then we end up someplace we don't really want to be. So maybe that the karma destined us to be in. But if we say something and it doesn't have the resonance of the full truth, and then we redo, then we get the next truer piece and the next truer piece. So it's not just for that one thing that we're saying that we need to make a correction for. It's for the rest of the channeled information to come through.
Yeah, that is because truth has to be filtered through who we are. If we are perfectly clear, like a crystal, then we get all the divine truth immediately down here and we know. Those are the moments when, you know, sometimes it feels like you just know the truth, it just comes through. That's where we're clear. But when we're not, then all the other things, they're like lenses that are muddy and colored with our karmic issues that are in the way. So if we say something and it resonates through one of those karmic filters, it will come out not as the high truth, but more of the truth of that issue.
And we are in now the function, if we just segued into the function.
Yep.
So what we're talking about now has to do with the function, in this case the front of the throat chakra, which is the truth of the moment. This is what we're talking about speaking the truth of the moment. That's a function of the front of the throat chakra. And it has to be our unique truth, obviously, if we're parroting something that we think needs to be said, it's not our unique truth.
Yeah, and when we only want to speak the truth or know the truth that we like, we get so good at filtering the truth that we don't like, that not just saying it, we start to do it internally. You know, like if you're in an environment when you have to be polite all the time, but you don't necessarily always feel polite, that doesn't mean you have to be impolite, but there are probably ways to express something, like when, you know, the answer normally would be, oh, fine, it could be, you know, working on it, or something like that. It's not impolite, but it brings just a little bit of truth. As we start to do that, we then teach ourselves that we need to recognize that truth we don't like internally as well. Because we can't change something we don't know about.
So if we don't know what we think, or we don't know what we want, or we don't know what we want to do, then if we allow ourselves to go into the truth of the fifth chakra a little bit more consciously, and give ourselves permission to be in that unique truth, the truth of the moment, then the what we desire comes up and supports it, is supported by the expression of the throat chakra. Otherwise, what we desire and what we know to be true has to be suppressed because the throat chakra closes up.
Yeah, that self-filtering is a negative pattern that karmically exists on the planet in general and in a lot of people in particular, because we are trained that certain truth is okay to have and other truth is not. When actually it's connected more to the self-expression because of the community set up. Some things were not okay within the community to express, but that doesn't mean they're not okay to feel internally.
Especially when somebody has died, and we are so happy that person died. We're just so grateful, and somebody says, oh, so-and-so died, and you go, oh, I know, it was so amazing, I'm happy that they died. That's not socially acceptable, but it's true.
Yeah, you can celebrate somebody's death because they finally completed maybe a difficult illness, or maybe they were just having such a bad time being here that this is like a relief for them, and you know them personally, so then you can have joy about it. But socially, that might seem bizarre. Yeah, and in general, a lot of things where there's a social expectation, that's what programs us to filter the truth. So let's say something's going to be happening, like a wedding, let's say, or whatever, and everybody's invited, and they ask you, aren't you excited? And maybe you're dreading going to that wedding. Now, you're still going to go if you care about the people, but you would now internally have to be honest with yourself that you're dreading. You have to figure out why you're dreading. You have to change this internal state, so if you're still choosing to go, you might as well enjoy it. So find something that you can like in that. But because we're so conditioned that we're supposed to like it, the typical way would be just to filter that whole dread thing and just say, oh, yeah, so of course I'm enjoying it, and just not acknowledge the actual truth, which then robs the person of opportunity to change and find joy in it.
If we don't do that, then we end up judging the event. So if we're honest about the event, then we don't have to judge it at all, but we get to be clear and true about how we feel about it. This honesty is so important in relationships. Well, relationship to self first, but then also in relationship to other. It seems, you know, all of the machinations and all the twerking and everything that people do to kind of get along and be societally acceptable, it just leads to this gooey, sticky, dysfunctional stuff that then we have to eventually go back and clean up anyway. And it's not just to be clear and true as an individual that you get to speak the truth. It's for your soul. I mean, the higher self will only come in if we have an open chakra. Otherwise, the higher self just hangs out.
Yeah, and then what happens is that we're listening, we're trying to pay attention, but we don't hear the truth. That's when a person says, I feel disconnected from my soul, I don't hear what my soul is saying. It's not actually that we don't hear what it's saying, it's that we so condition ourselves to not want to hear what it's saying, that we filter the information out. Information is always there.
That's the front.
On to the back. On to the back. That's a self-responsibility. The back of the neck chakra is a self-responsibility. It's about dignity and self-honor. It's about knowing when to say no. It's about being comfortable with your own uniqueness. It's a healthy pride in accomplishments. Not the ego pride, but a healthy pride, which is more of a spiritual accomplishment acknowledgement.
And with this responsibility, we have the capacity to change. Without it, either life seems like life forces us to change or we force ourselves to change, but it's not true change, it's coercion. If we have responsibility, then we can actually change.
And in relationship to what we talked about with the adult part of us and the child part of us, self-responsibility, that connects to being our own parent instead of expecting the world to parent us. Or being in blame that we didn't get what we think we needed from the parents.
And we're way better off trying to figure it out ourselves and then, you know, being in error or whatever, than to go around and ask everybody else all the time. Mm-hmm. Because if the people that you're asking actually have good feedback, great, but then it doesn't help the individual find the power. So it's better to risk and fall flat and get it, quote, not wrong, but, you know, like not have an accurate perception. Because there's more of a honed learning in that direction than I want to know for myself. I want to be self-responsible.
Yeah, being able to witness the challenges that we experience and then not fall into the experiencer, but remain partially experiencer, partially observer, The observer is the parent that then can help the child who's in the experience to have a more positive one.
So when the front of the throat chakra is imbalanced, and in this case when it's weak, but it's open, it's spinning clockwise, but it's really weak, then we have a fear of our own uniqueness. And if we start to become more unique, we get nervous and scared and anxious, because if we program this chakra to be afraid of our uniqueness and then we start to become more unique, there'll be an anxiety in the face of that. So we have to not push through, but stay vigilant to be in the uniqueness, be risk being different, and then that chakra gets stronger. But if we don't, we stay very afraid of being who we are.
Another weakness of the front aspect of the throat is when we only want to hear the higher truth. Only the good truths are okay. Lower truths are not okay. When we do that, we miss out on the humanity of who we are, on the experience of being in a third dimension, essentially.
And all the parts of our consciousness, which is alive and comes from us, that we don't want, we shove it out in our field and try to push it away like little orphans, you know? And then what we need is those orphans back and transmute them. But, you know, think about it in terms of like pushing out and away the very thing that we're meant to nurture.
Yeah, this is how there is a recipe essentially to get a very strong lower self. Because every time we push something away, it's disowned, where does it go? It becomes the lower self, right? So that is then the thing that's going to throw a tantrum and try to sabotage us again and again when we're actually trying to do the spiritual work.
What makes it even worse than that is that then we have a lower self in our own private little aura, right? But then we made all of us human beings that have been incarnating here, we made a lower astral level on the planet, which connects to every single human being's unwanted orphan stuff, collectively then becoming self-aware and self-conscious. Then we have lower astral beings who poke on us and they want to be fed with what they were made out of. So as we bring our orphans back in, our arrogance and our hatreds and our insecurities and everything, and own them and transmute them, we depollute that lower astral level.
Yeah, that's how the whole concept of the devil and the demons and country egregors that then control the mentality of each particular culture or genetic group. Sometimes they're family related, you know, family history that becomes very negative and incestuous. All those patterns, they are disowned components of ourselves that just got projected over many, many, many lifetimes.
Including the miasms that are a part of the lower astral that genetic lines buy into.
Yeah. They're not actually conscious beings. They're the beings that think that they're conscious, but they're not actually beings at all. They're our energy disowned that has so much of our essence in it that it thinks it's a being.
And it has kind of a mask personality.
That's why a lot of times people say, but if I start working with my lower self, how do I protect myself from all this lower energy that might be attacking me? And it's like, it's not actually lower energy attacking, it's person getting in touch with the things that they disowned. There's no protection needed. There's higher consciousness needed.
And a big will chakra on the back to take action on your own behalf when you meet those energies. You know, when we send them away, they amplify because they group up, and then we get our part back, and it seems bigger than what we sent out. Moving on to if the chakra spins counterclockwise, then that means that we're looking for fulfillment.
You have all the expectations from the external reality.
Mm-hmm. And whatever we push out in expectation, we draw back in and then experience it. So if we're afraid of being in danger or something, then we can attract danger. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, that whole concept of protection is actually fear-based, because if we need protection, it implies we're terrified, and if we're terrified, we're going to attract the very thing we're trying to defend against in order for us to clear out the fear that we blocked in the first place. That's why instead of protection, we always just want to have higher self-energy, free will, and clarity of purpose of what we're doing with the energy we're working with, no matter how negative it is.
Because in every form, we're meeting ourselves. So we would only be protecting ourselves from ourselves.
We were talking about pushing the truth out.
Oh, we meet ourselves.
Yeah.
We can only meet ourselves.
We can only meet who
we
are.
We're trying to protect ourselves from ourselves.
Because there is no other.
Yeah.
There is only us. The rest is an illusion.
We hire everybody else to play the role. If you want to get yelled at, probably in the dream state or whatever, you hire the other person to come yell at you, and then they yell at you, and you hired them.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that we attract to ourselves is because we put it out first, and we said, I don't know what to do about it, but eventually it needs to be dealt with. So then if we don't deal with it internally on our own terms, like in meditation or processing or journaling or whatever form of dealing with the energy, you know, then the external reality brings to us something that matches the thing we pushed out. It knocks on our door and then yells at us, or, you know, bumps our car, or somebody maybe steals something from you or whatever. This is so we get triggered in the very way that we needed to in order to now face the energy, which we didn't want to face in the first place.
And the more light we can hold, and the more awareness, and the more love that glues it all together, the more we attract these pieces back. It doesn't mean we're regressing. It means we're actually getting really good at cleaning it up.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that we have to attract disasters, because very rarely is somebody actually having something of that magnitude that they have to clean up. Usually it's more of a smaller fears, so they're not going to attract disasters. Those things are actually more of the lower self agenda saying, see, the world is that dangerous. That's like imagination starts to go wild about how bad things can happen, but it's actually lower self that's benefiting. Not, those things are not actually going to happen, but the lower self is essentially saying that they can, so you better stay defended.
And as we've been shifting into this new time, say over the last 5 years, there's been this extra download, you could call it, of grace and ease in relationship to healing karma. There's a helpfulness and a grace and a kindness, so we can learn at the smallest level possible of harm. And that only happens if we open up the heart chakra and take it in. If we think we have to learn the hard-ass way, then we're back to being more kind of brutalized by life.
Which actually goes back to the back aspect of the throat chakra. If it's too weak, then we have a terror of failure. So we work really hard, but we never get the success. Mm-hmm. It's the squirrel in the wheel that's just running forever and never actually gets anywhere.
Yeah, that back of the neck chakra, when it's clockwise but weak, mm-hmm. it's the terror of failure. The only reason we would ever be terrified of failing is because we already failed another time in another lifetime or in this lifetime, and then we project it forward. But if we don't get afraid of failing, then we have no terror.
Yeah, and that fear of failure leads to the experience that we're resentful about life not providing us with better opportunities. This is where the person always says, well, I just fell on some bad luck. If I only had this, or if this happened in my life like in so-and-so's, then it will be okay. Not realizing that he or she themselves are the ones who created their circumstances. And then they're pushing too hard, trying to get the experience back from life without actually listening to their own truth and being self-responsible. So resentment that we didn't get something from life, like grass is greener on the other side, somebody else's life is better. That's the issue with the back of the neck
chakra. The Celtic tradition was one of the strongest and most recent ones that knew that there was no such thing as luck. And so they would be invested in their destiny, and they would use their drawings and practices and rituals and everything to try to build an inner dynamic that then would lead to good fortune. And then it got reduced to the shamrock, basically. That's the last remnant of the Celtics, is somewhere in Ireland. And then it got all the way minimized down to just this good luck shamrock thing.
Yeah, and the whole concept became good luck, like it's a random thing. You can either have it or not.
Yeah.
But the culture understood that luck, there is no such thing as luck in the way how modern culture thinks of it. There is a fortune that we build through our own internal action. And if we're in a proper internal state, we create fortune, hence the good luck. It does not come randomly. So if the back aspect of spinning is spinning counterclockwise, but strongly, we attempt to be responsible for everyone else in the world. Run around trying to be responsible for other people. Overgive, overdo, overcompensate, over everything.
The jumpers, the ones that jump in all the time mm-hmm. to rescue.
Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do this. Oh, let me help you.
Yeah, and that, if we do that because the back chakra is off, then the front doesn't know the truth. We're the designated rescuer, have to help, the one who has to help, and then our truth goes hollow and shallow.
Yeah, and then there's also shame that happens. If the person expects that they're going to feel better about themselves by fixing the world. So the world is still not fixed, and then they feel ashamed. Because they must have not been somehow enough, and that's why it's so. Instead of realizing that they're being overly responsible for external, not being self-responsible in the process.
We're not in the experiential yet, so don't go there, but there's a lot of this... There's a lot of this throat chakra on the front, even though we're on the back, kind of waffling back and forth like this. This comes from people being told what to do and then told something else, and then even like eat butter, don't eat butter, this, that, you know, this, yeah. So just notice that if you're feeling that swing or seeing that swing, just kind of put it on hold and wait till we get to the part where you can work with it. It's really good to know how the imbalances work before we go into the pie update.
Yeah, so if the back is too strong, it takes energy from the front to push more to supply the back, and then we try to control the world to be responsible for everyone else. If it's the other way around, if the front is too strong, it's pulling the energy from the back, then we project it out and get disappointed when the world doesn't match our truth.
It's really cool though, as we figure this out, because as we're projecting out and then not being matched, we can start to feel the clogging that we did to ourselves instead of assigning that clogging to the world.
Okay, on to the activation part. So to activate the front aspect is speaking your truth. That's the easiest way to do it. That's noticing both the lower self and the higher self truth. Sometimes speaking is important, sometimes not, but noticing on the inside is always important.
And sometimes the lower self truth can try to insert itself as the higher self truth, like with overgiving or something. The lower self can be, you know, instigating the overgiving, which it does, and then it can assert itself that that's what the higher self is saying, but it's a fake out.
And that's when we need to make sure we look for the causes of our expectations. Like if you suddenly feel like you have to overgive, and that's the higher self truth, but you're suspicious that it might not be so, then ask for who's benefiting. Is this person actually going to be benefiting by me giving them so much energy? Probably not. So, am I benefiting? Not really. Not for my highest good. So who's benefiting? Ah, my lower self is benefiting. So guess what? That was my lower self voice. And that's how you differentiate which truth is speaking.
Another way to activate the throat chakra, which is obvious, is to use sound and tone, but not necessarily always, historical chants. Or pretty tones, ask your throat chakra to make the sound of the tone of whatever you're dealing with. And as you do that, and it's the tonal quality comes through, it can be like a really ratchety sound or something if you feel agitated, then by doing that and giving it space, the healing tones come in right after it.
There's a truth of the moment, like how we actually feel or think in the moment, and then there's more of a higher truth of how where we want to arrive. So with the sound, if we make initial sound that matches how we actually feel, like if you're frustrated, the sound would not be very balanced, right? Or if you're sad, it might not be very harmonious. So whatever that is. And then make the sound of what you believe would be the more harmonious one, you would notice they're not the same. But you can sort of navigate the sound that is off into a more harmonious one just by allowing yourself to keep sounding.
And if we make the harmonious one first, we sometimes just suppress the negative and then we feel somewhat better, but it doesn't really heal the negative. Another thing, if you have to speak your truth and it's scary to do so, You can use honey. You can use honey water. You can just put honey in the back of your throat. It coats the vocal cords and it soothes them. And honey's a really, really, really high frequency food. And so it allows the vibration of truth to ring more through the anatomical structure of vocal cords.
Then yawning is a good way to get oxygen into the brain, and it opens all the tension in the jaw that we tend to do to ourselves as a way of blocking our truth expression, because we're in a culture when we're supposed to be polite all the time. So yawning is a good way to activate the front of the throat chakra.
Also, having good posture, not rigid posture, but having a balanced posture allows the person to not lean too far forward. Because if our expression is more of a need to engage thing, the person can come forward. And if they're aloof and kind of distant, the person can lean back, but that puts a lot of pressure on the spine. And if there's pressure on the spine, there's pressure on the throat.
And as far as the sound, it's actually silence. Listening to silence, being in silence, being in the spaces where there is no sound literally, like almost like if you're wearing noise cancellation headphones and you have no sound, so all you hear is yourself, and after a while, you know, your body, rhythm, heart, whatever, but then that goes away too, and then you enter the space when there is nothing. Silence actually has sound. That is the most pure higher self soul truth in connection with the throat chakra.
So the best time of day to work with the throat chakra is when you have silence.
That's why it's so important to have in your day times when you are not being stimulated by external sounds. Otherwise, it's very hard to hear your own truth. Like if you're in the car, sometimes it's good to listen to the radio or maybe a CD or of something that you want to know about. But sometimes it's good to have a moment before you jump out of the car when you, for maybe 2 minutes, just in silence. Tune into yourself, the same in the house, the same in general throughout your day, to have more and more of those moments so you can hear yourself.
And to activate the back, you can use proclamations like, I choose to take care of myself, because that connects to the self-responsibility. You can be really proud of yourself. You would think that that would be a solar plexus thing, but actually it's self-responsible to be proud of ourselves. It's not egotistical. If we use it as I'm better than somebody, then it is. But if we're just really proud of ourselves.
Yeah, think of pride as an acknowledgement of accomplishment.
Healthy pride.
Then it's not comparison-based, it's an internal experience-based.
God pride. Pride being God's. We can be messy creators sometimes, but we're creators.
Yeah, so just think about it. If you walk into your kitchen after a hard day and you go, yay, I'm so proud of myself, I'm God. Your throat chakra opens up, you're self-responsible, you're probably going to feel better, and you're going to get tons of energy even if you worked all day.
But not so much in the grocery store if you do that.
I said in the kitchen.
I know.
Okay, so changes in connection with Pi. Because Pi is all about personal uniqueness, it's very important to know your unique truth. No matter how different it is from every single person around you, or in your family, or whoever you normally socialize with.
Yeah, and if it's a lower self, unique truth, it's still part of the learning of the truth of the lower self to be transmuted. It's important, though, to know the lower self truth. Also, if we reduce blame, that's one of the fastest ways to work with this throat chakra in the new Pi energy. Because when we blame, we take our power and give it away. Mm-hmm. It's like giving money away all day long and then having no money. So when we blame something, our power goes into the thing we blamed and then we're bereft. And all we're left is a complainer, right? A victim-y complainer. So if we don't blame anybody for anything or circumstances, we don't blame them, then we can digest what we need to and express what we need to through the throat chakra. Digest through the third and express through the throat.
And that's actually how we become our own hero. When we know the lower truth and we face it, not run from it, and we deal with it through the higher truth. That's the sword of truth, the knight in shining armor. That's the hero within us that uses the sword of truth, the power, to cut through all the confusion and everything else we put in the way, to actually deal with whatever the negativity we have so we can transmute it.
Yeah, it's like in the metaphor of the archetype, the knight slays the beast of his or her lower nature, right? So there's not really a beast, it's just our lower self is not evolved. It's unevolved. And so we're not going to go to war with it. We're going to take the sword, which is a very electric yang principle, and we're going to take apart truth from not truth in a very clear, precise way, and then the lower nature is healed.
All right, now we can go into the experiential part. In your body, tune into the front and the back of your neck chakra, number 5. Be the observer. At first, don't do anything, just experience and notice what's happening. Is there a lot of energy in one side and not enough on another? Is something too stretched out or clogged? Now, on the structural levels, the attitude is self-responsibility. And the intent, the value of your own truth.
Or on the fluid side, use the feeling of honesty and the intuition of authenticity.
Keep your shoulders relaxed. Some of you starting to rise them up to your ears.
The self-responsibility is really freedom. And that phrase, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah, we can't have truth if we don't have self-responsibility. So the back with the self-responsibility and the front with the expression of truth is really freedom. Then the blue of the throat chakra can change a little bit more to turquoise, which is the color of freedom.
And the Pi energy is coming through. This is all the update here that you're getting that resonates with your own unique truth. Keep your shoulders relaxed. On the back, there's all this tension going on. You might want to gently rotate your shoulders back, just to make sure that area is open. Now take a deep breath and make a sound. Yeah, whatever the sound that's naturally feeling right for you.
That was really good because most of the clearing that people were making from their throat through their throat chakras needed to go down and not up. Sometimes it goes up the vertical tube, sometimes down. In this instance, it needed to move down.
Yeah, and actually it looked like if you imagine dirty water, water that has stuff in it that's clogging up the drain, and then you push it with the force and finally that clog pushes through. That was the sound. That was very good.
Yeah. When we move toxic energy out with a water type element, there's kindness and compassion in the water element instead of a roughness then it's more painful as the toxicity leaves the body. So
yeah, and experience what your throat feels like front and back. You might want to stand out and do a little bit of a stretch for your shoulders, because we've been witnessing how a lot of you are still tensing the back. That's because there is a habitual pattern of self-discipline, something that related to the negative as a discipline, as if being disciplined. That's the lower self saying to the higher self, don't you tell me what to do. But we're talking about self-discipline, which is our own choice to do, which means we are the higher self. So that's the pattern that was being restructured. But because the old one is still there, a lot of you had that rebellion going on in the back of the neck, so you might want to stretch that area, because that's been pretty tight. There's also a lot of opening in the front of the chakra, because some of you had your voice closed in the higher self way before, so it was hard to get access to that. It will be easier now, but there was a lot of restructuring for that as well.
Closure for from other lives, obviously, because everybody's still alive here, but from speaking the truth and then being killed or castrated or chastised or something because of that. And so to loosen up that memory that now it's safe to speak the truth, and it's essential to speak the truth, where whenever the lifetime happened that it wasn't so safe, that was a different learning.
Yeah, the reason we make you stand up sometimes is because when you stand up, your vertical tube has access to the energy a little bit different, so you get the whoosh more, and it's easier to feel change than when you're sitting. In reality, of course, it works the same if you're sitting as well, but because you have been sitting, when you stand up, there is a difference. There's a stronger flow for a moment, and that's an important moment to notice the difference.
So on the structuralist side, the attitude is self-responsibility. The intent is valuing truth. On the fluid side, the feeling is honesty. And the intuition is authenticity. And like with the intuition, it's the intuition to be able to intuit what authenticity is. So even though authenticity may seem like more of a structural dynamic, it's using the intuition to then bring authenticity through.
Yeah, because sometimes it's hard to know what it means to be authentic in the moment if the lower self is screaming too loudly. Mm-hmm. So if you use your intuition, then you can feel, oh, the authentic thing is actually to notice the secondary voice over here, not the loud screaming voice of my fear. It takes some strategy to find the lower self. It's a trickster. Very skillful saboteur.
Sneaky, yeah. It knows us so well, and it has the keys to all the houses and cars and dynamics of everything in the body.
Yeah, it is our child, right? It's the child self. So just like children, they know the buttons to press in the parents, right? They know exactly what to say, how to say it, in what tone, when, and how many times to get what they want.
And they know how to wait until the higher self is more removed, and then they come in.
Yeah.
Okay, so the sixth chakra, the front part, the location would be, the front is at the forehead area, a little above the eyebrows, and the forehead, the front part, it's an eye for tuning into finer vibrations, more refined energy, subtler energy. And on the back of the head, it's at the occipital, it's above the occipital ridge.
Yeah, back of your head.
Mm-hmm, back of your head.
Opposite of the front. Connected perpendicularly, just like that.
Like a miner's hat with two lights going out.
Yeah.
This is connected to the pineal gland.
Yeah, the visual is the indigo. That is almost the only color that doesn't really get lighter when you go higher. It pretty much remains the same. A little bit lighter, but not as much as others.
Okay, and the sense of the sixth chakra is envisioning or seeing. That can be literal seeing, with seeing of energy, but also it can be envisioning and seeing, like we say, oh, I see, I get it, right? So that kind of insight is also the sixth chakra.
What about imagining?
Yeah, that would work.
Not necessarily the place from which imagination comes out of, but the actual visual of it.
Yeah. A lot of times imagination can be a combination of the second, acknowledged by the third, and then brought up to the sixth, with a dabble of the fifth. Well, recipes for all these.
Well, because when people say the word imagination, they don't necessarily always mean visual. Mm-hmm. They mean more like creativity. So that recipe was for the creative energy that could be labeled imagination. But if we think of a strict usage of the third eye chakra, it's the visual. It's literally the visual. Mm-hmm. But the visual could be connected to energy anatomy, as in literally seeing energy. It also could be connected to internal screen in our mind, like seeing pictures, like how you can right now see your living room, for example. Mm-hmm. That's an internal visioning. It also could be connected to visioning opportunities, possibilities, future. So this is a different way of perception that is also visual.
Also, we dream visually. We dream in pictures and stories and scenarios. So that's a function of the sixth.
Yeah, but another function would be to envision possibilities without necessarily making them literally visual for the perception. It's as in coming up with possibilities versus not having the possibilities. So when somebody says, well, I need to get from here to there, and this is the highway to do so, but I guess I can also go through this town, or if this road is closed, I can go through there. They're starting to have pictures of the roads and memory of maybe a map or something. All of that together, that's envisioning. That's a third eye function.
Which we're going to next. In the front of the sixth chakra, the function is the ability to envision what we want, imagination, envisioning of the self in wholeness, being able to see ourselves in a holistic way. And also, this is really important, to see ourselves as precious and powerful and satisfied. We have the vision of something first and the experience of it secondary.
So it translates the higher frequency into something that our personality can understand.
Because we live in an actual reality where everything is simultaneous, we would go crazy if we experienced everything with that much simultaneity. So the sixth chakra can translate visually so that we can manage to live in the third dimension here.
The universe is unexplainable to the linear personality of the ego. It's incomprehensible. Because linear personality of the ego cannot comprehend the simultaneous nonlinear nature. Third eye chakra is able to perceive that simultaneous nonlinear nature, translate that into linear images that then our personality that is within the linear nature can comprehend.
That's why dreams are challenging to understand, because the way that the third eye is translating is more towards the multidimensional and not completely towards the third dimensional physical of the realm of objects that we're used to. So then we have to learn how to translate those images. But it's a good bridge. If you want to do conscious dream work, it's a really good bridge to open more of the sixth chakra on the front.
Okay, and the back aspect of the third eye, that has to do with strategy. That is a step-by-step action. So if the front comes up with an idea or vision, the back figures out how to make it happen. So you can easily imagine, when we go to the imbalances, if the front is functioning great but the back is blocked, the person will come up with tons of ideas but have no idea how to make them happen. Or the other way, if the back is functioning great, it would be a perfect worker bee that's able to figure out all the details and put everything in order and organize and everything, but have no imagination and inability to come up with a bigger vision.
Okay, so speaking of the imbalances, when the front is weak, but clockwise, so it's open but weak, the front has very limited the front of the sixth chakra, very limited self-vision, difficulty coming up with new ideas, and therefore it makes sense that there would be a limited ability to change. We can want with our second chakra, but if we can't envision it, you know, people say, oh, I want to have more money and not be so worried about finances, or I want to move or something. But if the envisioning doesn't happen, then all the wanting just becomes a longing. And we have to truly envision what we want in order to change and make it manifest.
And if the third eye chakra has a lot of energy, so it's not weak, but it spins counterclockwise, then we project our ideas onto the external reality. And then, of course, external reality mirrors back to us whatever we projected onto it, and then we feel justified in our toxic behavior because it's matching what we think life is. Our fears, our issues, if we put them out onto life, life starts to show us, like in the mirror, that same stuff back. So then a person is living self-fulfilling prophecy instead of actually living. No new information can come in when the third eye is spinning counterclockwise, because it acts like a projector of what is already known.
That happens when we have been convinced that the lower self reality is the only truth, and then we just buy into it. But it makes so much sense because we have evidence that exactly what we were afraid of or didn't want or were disappointed in, it shows up. And then, so we have to be able to not believe the evidence. We have to know that the evidence that we didn't get what we wanted occurred, but the only reason was because we didn't have a higher vision for what we wanted. So the lower vision manifested.
Yeah, like let's say if somebody had a relationship and then got hurt in the process, they might have a belief that all men are bad or all women are bad. So then when they go out into the world and they attract possibilities of partnership, they will keep repeating the same story. Either somebody will cheat on them or somebody will steal money from them or something like that to justify what they believe about the world. Because their third eye chakra is projecting that onto reality. So then they only can attract what is matching that projection. If that person wants to attract something different, they have to first challenge the belief that they're projecting and stop projecting it.
Okay, so if we go to the back of the sixth, and it's weak, if it's weak, mine's not, if it's weak, and clockwise, which means it's open, then a person would have a hard time making things happen. They would have the inability to bring ideas into form. Those are those, when this happens, it's the frustrated dreamers, where they see something, but they don't know how to make it work. They don't know the nuts and bolts of it. This is when the chakra is weak, but it's open.
And if the back aspect is strong, but counterclockwise, that's typical obsessive compulsive. Overfocus on details, has to have things certain way, projecting the need for rigid structure on reality and then making choices based on that. It's stuck in a pattern.
That micromanaging, it's like the person becomes so myopically focused on these little details that really don't mean anything, but because the person doesn't know how to work with the front of the sixth chakra very well, then as long as they become busy with non-essential details, they use up all their energy for that, and then, you know, don't have to readdress the problem between the front and the back of the sixth.
Yeah, like let's say if somebody has guests over and then they fuss around every napkin, every this, every that, making sure everybody's okay, but in the end they miss out on actually communicating with their friends. That would be counterclockwise back of the third eye.
So in the activation category, when we want to activate the front of the sixth, we have to notice very clearly and compassionately the negative feedback patterns that the external reality is bringing to us. That's just what we were talking about. We have to notice what the negative feedback loop is.
And correct to a more balanced vision of ourselves.
Yeah, we didn't lose out when we get the negative version. It's like a puzzle that came to us and we get to take it apart.
Like let's say you're in a situation when you did something and you're watching yourself, so you're able to have the witness, and you're noticing you're kind of pathetic. Like, you're just, like, you could do better. Now, if at that point you become the experiencer, then you judge yourself, you fall apart, and nothing good comes out of that, right? But if we're able to notice that, okay, I could do better, but I didn't act here really well, and what would be the better? Oh, the better would be for me to speak my truth, or to make an action, or to be more creative in that moment, like whatever other version is that we know we're capable of, but kind of came short. Then we utilize the fact that we noticed that we were kind of pathetic, and then we change that to something, whatever that was a better idea that we knew we were capable of. That's the transformation that the third eye chakra can really help us with. Or in a situation, somebody triggered you, let's say, and you reacted with anger. And afterwards, you kind of look at it and go, I could have handled that better. Now, how do we know we could have handled that better? That's because there is another vision, right? We're just not conscious of it. So if in that moment we don't judge the fact that we snapped at somebody, we take responsibility for that. But then we say, okay, what would have been the better version? Oh, the better one would have been to do blah, 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 right? Maybe take responsibility. Well, then go back to that person and say, you know what? I'm sorry the way I reacted. I still stand by what I said. I still disagree with you. But I'm sorry the way I handled that, that was not really good. In doing so, we just change something in who we are. That's what Pi is all about.
To activate the back of the chakra, we have to look at why we're resistant to manifesting, like why it's working for us, for our lower selves, to not be able to manifest well, not be able to strategize well. There's some negative pleasure that we get out of that. So we have to be able to see why we resist manifestation. What's the positive outcome of the manifestation that we're not letting ourselves have? And then by doing that, we can have the discipline. The back of the heart chakra can kick in with will to act, to help us act on our own behalf. But we have the strategy because of how to envision ourselves differently, act on our own behalf, and then use the steps to make it happen. Everything works in concert. If we don't see how the resistance works, then we can't get the strategy going.
Yeah, and the discipline, it's not about forcing us to do something we think we should. The discipline, it's about self-research first to understand why we don't want to do what we think we should. And then finding the higher reasons to act by free will choice. And the commitment to doing that research and then changing the vision and then following through with the steps, that is self-discipline.
If we have the active continuous focus, that's a better word maybe than discipline, but because we use our word for discipline as a negative, like we were disciplined. Or
only in this culture.
Only in this culture.
Yeah, I don't know of any other culture that does that.
So, because we're conditioned by that word, and if you don't like that word, then find another one. So there's no resistance to the word.
Yeah, in most cultures, the word discipline implies a form of self-control in a positive sense. Mm-hmm. Something that we understand about ourselves, and then we choose to behave a certain way. And in America, because of the children mentality, a lot of times discipline is assumed that it comes from the outside.
Also, if you want to do yoga poses that are called inversion in order to open up the sixth chakra, getting more blood flow to the brain and the eyes, you can do like downward dog, which is the head faces down, or a shoulder stand or something. Anywhere where the head is lower than the heart can really help open the sixth chakra because of the increased energy flow and blood flow.
And sounds of a high-pitched, like wind chimes, and flute, and bells, and violin in the higher notes can stimulate the third eye.
And foods that are good for the eyes, like blueberries, that actually helps the pineal gland. Any food that helps the eyes, the physical eyes, can help the third eye. And if you look at pairs of complementary colors like orange and blue or red and green, the juxtaposition of the two complementary colors can exercise the sixth chakra. as can going from bright light to dark and then dark to light again, shifting from bright sunshine to darkness. That boundary between the two kinds of visual tones, hues, can activate the sixth.
What was the food you said?
Blueberries.
Yeah, lutein and all sorts of nutrients that are good for the eyes.
So you can look at the complementary colors, eat blueberries, and listen to wind chimes. Standing on your head.
Well, coming up with a better vision of yourself.
Yes. Don't let anybody see you, but it doesn't matter anyway, right?
The physical eyes and the third eye is not the same thing. They relate to the same source, which is the pineal gland. So pineal gland in the center of the head, out of it come two energy pathways that become our eyes. And then there's a third one that becomes the third eye. So they come to the same source, but they actually not literally related. So sometimes people who use third eye a lot, envisioning a lot, will actually not have a very good vision because most energy is going into the third eye. And vice versa, people who don't use any envisioning will actually have good vision. When somebody overuses the back of the third eye, that's the most common cause for bad vision.
Also, if a person can see up close, then they're safe because they can see what's right here. A person that can't see up close but they can see far away, then they tend to be safe because they can see what's far away.
Yeah, that's usually because the back of the third eye is too strong. Mm-hmm. So when a person is focused on details and strategy too much and avoiding looking at the bigger picture, that detail-oriented personality will then draw too much energy away from the eyes, so then eyes begin to a little bit deteriorate, which then the vision goes down.
Also, if we try to, again, become safe because of our vision, our physical vision or our third eye vision, instead of our root chakra safety, then we overpressure the optic nerves and we overpressure the sixth chakra, and we can get some malfunctioning that way.
Yeah, so the best way to deal with vision issues is to first go into the center, to the vertical tube part, where the front and back of the third eye connect. So you go to that point in your head, and you hold the energy there. That's your pineal gland territory, and you just hold. Then you can move it to the front and to the back, so they equal. So practicing, let's say, having energy on the front, moving it in, through to the back, then turning from the back through the front, coming back here, back and forth, that opens the two chakras and equalizes them.
Which we're going to do right now.
Which we're going to do, well, after the change, pi change.
Oh, pi change.
Yeah. So okay. That's how we end up creating a better flow through the pineal gland, so then it releases the pressure that was on the eyes. Because the only reason the eyes have tension and issues is because we're having some issue with our vision of who we are.
So in the change with pi,
because pi is all about the expansion of the identity, right?
And seeing ourselves differently in a more expanded range. Right, so we have to be able to completely immerse ourselves in the new vision. If we have parts of us that are loyal to the old vision and parts that are loyal to the new, then we split the field, or we can actually split the sixth chakra. Part goes one way, part goes another, and then we're a little schizophrenic-y. But if we hold the new vision and really immerse ourselves in it as much as possible with all the senses, then that new vision starts to inform the identity in the solar plexus, and then the second chakra kicks in, the back of the sixth kicks in, and we start manifesting really well what we want.
Yeah, and what we want in that sentence, we is the higher
self,
not the ego. Quite often, we as the ego actually get quite disappointed because it does not get what it wants, but the higher self does.
And the reason why this envisioning capacity has been enhanced lately because of pi is that we're closer to fourth dimensional consciousness than we've ever been. And in the fourth dimension is where we create the stories. All the stories that we make up about human life come from fourth dimensional consciousness. And because the third and fourth dimensions are more coherent, then we have the ability to manifest really well if we can do the alignment. Manifest what we want from the higher self really well if we can get into that alignment.
Yeah, whatever we can fully envision and believe it, we can manifest.
And as we're coming into the new vision of self, we really have to honor the old outmoded one, instead of like going, oh, thank God I don't have that anymore. It's like respect and honor the steps that take us into the new vision, because that way more and more of the old pattern gets transmuted and incorporated in a sustaining way, rather than trying to jettison it away and not want to associate ourselves with who we used to be.
That's because consciousness is built on experiences which then change us and bring us wisdom. If we disregard or dishonor or reject the experiences we did not like, we actually miss out on the wisdom.
And if we honor everything, there's no regrets.
And if there's no regrets, that means that from every single experience we can take the wisdom for ourselves. Even if experience itself is not relevant, even if the identity of who we were at that time is not relevant anymore, just the fact that we did not push it away means that we now have wisdom from it.
Okay, so put your pads down. Get into your heads. Focusing into the front of the sixth chakra and the back. First, allow yourselves to balance the two aspects in whichever direction needs to happen till there's equilibrium. And then start by seeing the parts of yourself that you do not like, and just pick a couple.
Just a couple, please.
Not overkill. Yeah, when you've picked those that are your favorites to not like, then give them some space.
Yeah, don't try to change them. Just allow that vision while you're witnessing it.
As you give them space, they come out of the zone of rejection. And then you can see the role that they've played in keeping the limited range of identity. Good. So by not wanting to see something about yourself, and then that would be number one, then number two, giving it room. And then number three, you can understand the role it's playing. And then number four, you can start to envision the newer you, which then prepares you in this moment for the pi update in the sixth chakra.
And we'll tell you those steps again when you come out. Some of you are starting to telescope the front of your third eye. That's trying too hard. So pull the chakra in a little bit so it's balanced with the back. If you choose to expand both equally, then it's not an overkill on your system. It's okay to breathe as you're envisioning yourself. Some of you are holding your breath. As you're balancing the front and back of your third eye, you can try to slowly move your head a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, not up and down, but just sideways. And notice how it feels, your third eye. Move slowly, so then you can feel the weight of the energy in the front and in the back. That's also a way to know if something is not balanced, because if one is too heavy, your head would want to fall too far to the front or the back. If your head is going too far forward, that means you need more energy on the back of your third eye. So the attitude to hold is competency. The intent is appropriate strategy. To know what the appropriate strategy is. That's your structural levels: attitude, competency, intent, appropriate strategy. And the feeling on the fluid levels is seeing yourself clearly. And the intuition is envisioning your higher self, whatever that means for you. If you notice it's hard to hold that energy, go down to the root anchor and then come back up to the third eye. Good. Take a deep breath and come out. Now, if you want to stand down, notice in a moment as you stand what the change is as the energy rushes through, how it feels for the front and back. Stand up. Good, you can sit now. You all got your PI update there in connection with that individual, unique self-perception, self as the higher self, envisioning yourself in that perspective. So this is very good.
Step one was not wanting to see something negative about oneself. Step two is to make room for that thing. Make room for
the thing we didn't want to see.
So we have to see something that we don't want to see, allow ourselves that. Then we have to make room for it. That's step two. And then what happens in step three is we start to see why that negative thing exists, what role it's playing, its purpose. And then step four is the cleanup, the change that allows us to use the PI update in the sixth chakra. When we reach that fourth step, it's kind of a given, if we've been able to do the other three, that the way of being able to use the new self comes online because we've done our work preparatory to that.
And that's where a miracle happens.
Yeah. So the new self becomes more like not an automatic, it shows up, and then we get used to it. We start getting informed by it. It's another part of our higher self. Some people call it a soul retrieval.
Yeah, it's a component of who we are that relates to that wise part of us. But instead of struggling to figure out the wisdom, it kind of drops in because we did the step one, two, and three.
Yeah, it's just on hold until we make room for it. But with the PI updates, it's like not shortcut. We don't want to say it's a shortcut. But it's a more efficient way of working with the chakras, if we are spiritual adults.
Yeah, all of this hinges on this idea that the I am-ness is the higher self. Instead of I am this way, I am witnessing the lower self being this way, but I am the wise part that knows better. The attitude of competency, intent of appropriate strategy. And the fluid, the feeling, is seeing yourself clearly. And intuition is envisioning your higher self. Because the higher self truth is related to soul self. Soul self is the part of us that goes from incarnation to incarnation, gaining wisdom, hopefully, in each one. So that's a composite of the individuality or personal uniqueness of who we are, the soul self. And the higher self, it's an extension of that soul self into a lifetime. And from that, the ego. And from that, all the fears and issues, the lower self. So the lower self is the least real.
So as we take it back from the lower self to the witness, which then takes us to the higher self and then the soul, then we heal that episode of karma. And the soul and the higher self know that it's our job to go into the lower self. So it's all in context.
And the context, speaking of, the bigger answer is yes, it's not real. But nothing is real because it's all consciousness, right? Consciousness like a kaleidoscope with all sorts of different perceptions. But the perception of projected and then assuming it's an external reality, that what makes it not real. If it's an internal reality, then it is real to the one experiencing it. Crown chakra.
To the crown.
Location. Up. Looking to the sky. Vertical tube, higher exit point.
It connects to the pituitary. And there's a lot of discrepancy in different chakra systems about, you know, whether the pineal is on the crown or the pituitary. But if you look at it like there's kind of a system of chakras for more of the people that are their first manifestation into physical form, into three dimensions, into duality, happen on planet Earth. So those are like the earthling types. And then starseeds have had other incarnations and other existences in third dimensional scenarios. So they've had some training before they came here, then the chakra systems can run differently for them.
Okay, so the visual, we have white or purple. For most people it's white, but some people naturally have more purple. One is not any better than another.
But some both have both. Both are great.
Yeah, some have both. Yeah. Sometimes it's a white and purple. Now, any chakra can run any energy. White could be ran through the root chakra as well, depending on the body level in which it's happening. So we're not talking about what could be, as in any energy. We're talking about the color for that chakra in a pure sense when it's just running its own energy balanced. So the crown chakra generally will run white or purple or both,
and
depending on the person.
That's the home base for that color,
yeah.
And then it can move into any chakra, just like, say, red is the home base for the root, but you can have red in the crown. The home base is the generator, the home, the central point for certain levels of consciousness connected to color.
And the sense that is connected to the crown chakra is direct knowing. That is spiritual certainty. That's where we're not analytically figuring something out, when we're not sort of having a vague feeling about maybe I think it could be that, but instead we have a very clear knowing, which we have no idea how we got it, but we're just absolutely certain that that is so. That's a crown chakra sense.
And we work with different systems of spirituality until each one of us has more direct knowing, and then the direct knowing connects us to the higher self, and we don't need systems of specific meditation or other ways of being in a spiritual practice?
Yeah, direct knowing is never connected to the ego. It's only the higher self. So if the person does not have a higher self developed, they will not have access to direct knowing because there's nothing to know from yet, right? So that's why most people don't have access to that energy, because they're in the process of developing even the ego, never mind the higher self. But the ones who have been doing the spiritual work for many lifetimes obviously have developed the higher self, so there is that wisdom available. And when we get out of the way, we as the ego, then the higher self can speak, and that's the direct knowing. That's where the personality of the ego says, I have no idea how I know this, but I know this, because it didn't know it. It's the higher self that knew it.
And then that links into the fear of uniqueness through the throat chakra. So as we go more and more into direct knowing, there's less fear of uniqueness. And the function of the crown, it's a bridge between the human energy system, which includes the physical body, and the soul. So it's a bridge between the human energy system and the soul. And it allows us, because of that bridge, to be connected to the whole universe.
Yeah, that feeling of being linked to the universe, that's the crown chakra energy.
That's the all that is thing? That thing?
Yeah, this is when spirituality becomes an experience. Not some sort of a dogmatic idea or intellectual pursuit or an image. it becomes a full energy field body experience.
It allows us to sense our purpose, which is connected to the soul contract. So through the crown, we get access to what we're doing here and why, and sometimes as an overview for the whole life, sometimes as a step-by-step. It just depends on how our soul contract unfolds individually.
And the experience of synchronicity of the universe, that is also crown chakra function. When we're living life in this way that we plugged into the universe, essentially, we're a full circuit, so the universal energy can run through us, that's when life feels synchronistic. Because events begin to come together in a harmonious way that, from the ego perspective, it looks like magic.
Yeah, the tradition of putting a crown on a person's head comes from the original energy that the one who had the biggest crown chakra, the most balanced crown chakra in relationship to all the other chakras, that person became the leader or the authority because they had the most direct contact. And then it got minimized down to sticking a crown on somebody's head.
Yeah, the leaders used to be connected to the ones who could lead because they had the higher knowing, hence the crown. But then it became more of a political and ego base, so then the leading started to be more of a strategy oriented based on ego instead of the direct knowing, which then would have put the entire tribe in synchronicity with the universe, right? If the leader is connected.
Okay, so when the crown chakra is not balanced, if the crown chakra is weak, but it's clockwise, we have a materialistic viewpoint. Life is very literal and material-based. It becomes black and white. If it's closed, we lose the meaning of everything.
That's where life becomes boring and meaningless. If the crown chakra is closed,
we get really stagnant. Those existential experiences when we go, why does anything matter? Sometimes if the crown chakra is going through an adjustment via the higher self coming through more, we can temporarily kind of unplug ourselves from our regular sense of purpose and go through that nihilistic phase where we don't know what matters, we don't know what's real, and we don't know what's important. And then as we get plugged back in, we go to a more refined level of what's important in a body.
And if crown chakra is strong, but it spins counterclockwise, then a person attempts to override spirituality of others. It's a fanatical person. It's a person who says, my spirituality is right, and everyone else's spirituality is wrong. It's a blind faith. It's doing something because of their belief, and nothing else matters. And it's a blind crown chakra. So a lot of the leaders of cults who get people to follow them, that people actually sense like, well, but this person does have crown chakra open, there's something going on. Well, it's true, there is. But it spins counterclockwise, so the person is not actually empowering others, but trying to override others to fulfill self-aggrandizement.
And people that fall prey to those kinds of spiritual leaders, quote-unquote, they can sense or see or feel or know that this person has such a strong crown chakra, but it's going backwards. But then they would feel special, and they would feel like they were in the right, and they didn't have to worry about being in the wrong, and then they become a fundamentalist or a fanatic.
Yeah, and that is a very strong experience in the body when the crown chakra is open. So if it spins counterclockwise and a person is not aware, they very easily mistake that to a real spiritual experience because it feels so real. And that's the fanatical part. That's when a person can kill others just because they believe that this is the right thing to do according to that rigid fanatical belief. It's an override mode, blind. The fear of disappointing God also comes from counterclockwise spinning chakra. When a person feels like God is out there and I'm here, but God is jealous and disapproving, and I have to do something to please God in order to be okay.
That's a strong biblical tradition.
And that's a counterclockwise spin of the crown chakra. Open crown chakra, but backwards. Mm-hmm. God is not jealous or disapproving.
Just curious.
Spirit is in everything equally, and everybody's spiritual perceptions are okay. They're unique. But when the crown chakra spins counterclockwise, it's like an anti-uniqueness. My will be done, right? My truth, my spiritual perception is the only one. Everything else is wrong.
Okay. Now, okay. Activation. So we go into crown chakra activation by experiencing simultaneously stillness and connectedness. So the more still we become, which connects to an opening, stillness connects to opening, then the connectedness, which takes us into the I am, that happens via the crown chakra. So we become still, open, and connected.
And that leads to experience of sacredness.
That sense of awe. The awe happens because we're trying to translate something that isn't so translatable, so we stay in awe until we get a little bit more used to it and then move it down to the heart. But the sacred is connected to awe and wonder and humility. There's the humility, the true humility, that we're a part of something that's all that is.
And that comes out of knowing the bigger picture. Even if we don't know details, even if ego doesn't know exactly how, why, and when, there is still the inner knowing in the higher self that there is a bigger picture.
And the higher self and the soul higher self combo with all the guides that help us out here, they know the sequences of opening the chakras and how to work because they have the bigger picture that they try to translate to us. So we don't want to jump ahead and activate the crown chakra more than we're actually able to. So take all this with a grain of salt about how to activate the crown chakra because you can't just mechanically activate it. But if you start activating the crown chakra more, you'll probably want to eat fresher, lighter foods and in smaller amounts. So if you're starving all the time and eating a ton, it doesn't mean you're not opening your crown chakra. You're opening the part of your crown chakra that needs to be opened, and then as time goes by, more and more of the desire for the fresher, lighter foods happens normally.
Yeah, it has to be an organic process, not something that you decide and then will yourself to do. That's not going to open any chakra. If something's going to probably clog them up. Yeah, so the knowing part in connection with purpose, that's actually a very important component of the crown chakra. So if we know there is a bigger picture, if we know there is a meaning in the event, even if we from the ego side have no idea what it is, we don't know what the picture is, we don't know what the meaning is, but the fact that we choose to stick to the fact that we know there is one, that in itself keeps us linked to the higher self. Then we can investigate and figure out what that meaning is.
There's always a purpose, there's always a reason. The universe is never random. And so we want access, we want purview into that. We want to be able to see through the eyes of the soul, and the which is the crown actually, and the inner seeing. We want to be able to see the purpose of what's going on and decode it and then move it into unity, and then we become more connected to our role in the event. Even if the event is halfway across the world, we're still connected to it, but we need to know what is our role. For some people, they would get on a plane and go to where the event is and help out.
Or donate money.
Yeah.
Or choose to help somebody there in some literal way, but mm-hmm. for some, it might not be that at all. Mm-hmm. It might be actually to turn off the TV and not watch it.
If you want to activate your crown chakra, you can focus on your own crown and then focus on the North Pole of the planet.
Because North Pole is the crown chakra of the planet. So just like with the South Pole for the root, if we focus on the North Pole, and it's a big crown chakra, it's a big planet compared to us, we automatically activate our own crown chakra. Because our field begins to copy what's going on in the planet.
And the direction north is connected to wisdom. And the direction of the south, for the root chakra, is connected to embodiment.
Now to the changes with Pi. So Pi is all about expanding the range of consciousness, right? We know that. And one huge difference that is now here instead of what was with Gaia, so I'll say first how it used to be with Gaia, is that when a person used to do their spiritual work, they would get to a higher places in awareness. Some would even complete the reincarnational path and ascend, but they would still remain within the sphere of Earth. This is where the, all those traditional beliefs and all the religious mystery schools come up with this idea that we all have to do it together. Nobody left behind. Everybody have to make sure we all graduate together.
Because we were more linked back then.
Yeah. That's the part that has completely changed. With Pi, anybody can do their own work and move on and do not have to stay within the sphere of Earth. They can choose to and be a helper and master here or not. But the process of everybody doing together is over.
Also, to get us into Pi mode, to get us into this new time that our species is in and all the other species on the planet and the planet itself, we did need to work in concert. We did need to work more in the group dynamic. That brought us to a tipping point of sorts that we made it to handle Pi. And so now we can do more of this individualized pattern of growth, and there's a lot of freedom and there's a lot of responsibility.
Think of it like a ceiling. If before, if a person did their work, they got lighter. And the lighter and lighter enlightenment, they got lighter, so they got towards the ceiling. But then they remained at the ceiling, like balloons that just got stuck at the ceiling. So they became teachers for the human race. But they still remain here. And what Pi did is she took away the ceiling. So anybody who's here could keep going, and anybody who's lower could actually become more and more lighter, enlightened, and keep going as far as uniquely individual chooses. The ceiling is off.
And as the ceiling came off, a new color tone came in, which is like a purple-violet in the crown. So it's the white with the purple-violet, and the purple-violet also connects to a fire element, which is more turquoisey. So then we kind of have like this turquoisey blue, violet,
and white.
Stunning combination.
So those are completely different for the crown. Instead of just the purple and the white, we now get this turquoisey fire in there. We get bluer fire in there. We get white fire combination with those. And that purple violet, that's also slightly different frequency.
That connects to, this new color combination connects to uniqueness of unique wisdom, which then leads us into individualized oneness. So we have to be individual in oneness, not just oneness.
That's the true unity consciousness. Because we begin from connectedness and oneness anyway. We've already been there. We already won. We started there. Then we come down here to individuate, and it's sort of like a meat grinder, and it hurts. But then in the process, we awaken. And as we awaken, we build that individuality. And as that individuality wakes up to the level of oneness that we came from, we merge them. That's unity consciousness. So we're not here to go back to oneness. We're here to move through the individuality and then unite it with oneness, that individualized oneness, which is the unity. That's the enlightenment. And that's what Pi brought for us to have access to in our own unique way.
And she knows.
Everybody's already tuning in. I want some of that.
Here we go. So as you focus, well, get ready.
Set your engine, start, go. So focus on your crown chakras. And the first thing you want to do is notice if you're tipping. Think of it like a big salad bowl on top of your head. And really, really pay attention to what's happening to it. Because a lot of you have it tipping one way or another. As you notice that, gently correct that.
Even going down to the root and back up in order to help stabilize and balance the crown.
Also notice some of you are sitting, your whole spine is too far on the right or too far on the left. You're not centered.
You can get a sense of the vertical tube as it connects into the crown, stabilizing it. You can get a sense of the strength and the diameter of the tube as it interfaces with the crown. As you're working with your balanced crown energy, Notice what issues you might have about being divine, whatever that means. We need that sense of divinity even as we're still on the journey into completion. With that, in other words, if we stay with the I'm not perfect enough, then we cannot touch that divine energy. So we have to be able to have a sense of our own divinity while we're still working our way into enlightenment.
Notice the energy flow through your vertical tube as it channels the energy up.
Notice if it feels more blocked at the top of the tube, maybe in the chest area or at the bottom, but open in the middle.
So or if you're choking yourself at the throat area.
Yeah, try to figure out how to move the energy more openly from the root to the crown and then stay focused on the crown. This is a catalyst. We're in the catalyst phase.
This is where you might get the knowledge about the meaning of some of the distorted patterns that you run in your life.
If you feel like you're being kind of lifted up or you start to see your chakra spin really fast, just allow yourself to drop back down a little bit more into the pelvis and then go back up again. Now just focus on bringing in the turquoise blue, violet white flame into your crowns.
As it's coming in, on your structured side, hold the attitude of spiritual self-authority. And the intent of knowing the purpose. And on the fluid side, the feeling of connectedness with everything. And the intuition of unity, uniting the oneness and uniqueness. Those together evolve the enlightenment component, the individualized oneness. The Pi update is happening. That turquoise, blue, violet, white flame in your crown chakras. You can allow that flame to go a little bit further down into your vertical tube. Maybe it wants to resonate through your pineal gland and the third eye. Maybe it wants to go down to your throat. You don't have to hold it in the crown if you don't feel like you need to. Or you can make your crown chakra bigger to accommodate more charge.
Great. So great. You can sense the stillness in the room with the vertical tubes humming like personal connector generators. just freeze frame this forever.
That is a true belonging.
Yeah.
This is vertical belonging.
We're so webbed together in this really healthy way because the vertical tubes are all doing their work. And so we really empower each other this way.
And right now, we're resonating this into the planet so that human beings on Earth can get the benefit of this imprint. This is our service. And we have gotten to this point in the class that mm-hmm. you all can hold this energy. Now we can resonate that for other people to have access to it.
And as that's happening, there is actually this gong thing, like those enormous Asian gongs, so that strong gong energy is occurring as a way of bringing the sound into the planet.
You don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. Some of you started to follow that. You don't have to do anything. You just hold your flame. Mm-hmm. It's automatically resonating.
This is real service.
Yeah, don't leave your own crown chakra.
Now there's different grid patterns around the planet. It just goes on and on through the grid lines of the planet.
The ones who can actually use it, really need it, will mm-hmm. take it last because they're in resistance to it.
Now we're coming to completion with this, and we're actually getting the configuration like. It's not a white dove, but it's the energy of that which represents peace, and that's like an acknowledgement from the beings that have worked with us today to us for what we did.
Yeah, we serve by doing our own work, not by leaving ourselves and going to help somebody else, but by doing our own work so we arrive at this state where we can hold this high frequency energy. That's when it then resonates and helps others.
And every time we do real true service, because we're in the higher self mode, and we naturally, the service is a natural offering, we will always get acknowledged and supported and supplied, because it has to be full circle.
Okay, now take a deep breath and bring it down along your vertical tube into your root, and then come back up to your crown, and then another deep breath down to your root, and then go back to your crown, and then another deep breath down to your root, and then back to your heart. Okay, now you can open your eyes. Good. It's very important to anchor the energy of the crown chakra through the vertical tube. When we don't do that, the crown chakra is just like a flower with a weak stem. It flops, we can't really hold high frequency energy, so to be able to hold a lot, it has to have the flow, so we are a full circuit, which means we're plugged in on both ends, root chakra and the crown chakra. If we unplug one of the ends, we're not a full circuit, which means we're not getting universal energy, which means we have to uphold it with our own, and then we run out. We're like running on a battery.
So when we reached balance point internally and then the crown was activated, the energy went down through the root with this gong vibration into the earth, went through the ley lines of the earth, came back, and then we got actually that white peace offering came through the crown chakra. So as the power went from the crown down through the tube, through the root, into the planet, then the planet and the beings of the planet that support this brought it back to our crown and gave it back to us. Yeah. Full circle.
So for a moment, stand up so you can feel your crown chakra in a different way. Notice what happens in there. You might feel very different. Your body might not be cooperating with you because of how much energy you just downloaded. So, notice what's going on in there. Notice how your back feels. Notice how your shoulders and hips are aligned vertically over each other. If you're leaning too far forward or too far back, notice where your position is in space.
So for the crown chakra on the structural side, the attitude is spiritual self-authority, and the intent is knowing purpose. On the fluid side, the feeling is connectedness, and the intuition is unity.
Now you look so glorious with this big flames coming out of the top of your crown chakra, white and purple and turquoise.
You will for sure be the first on your block to have one. Nobody else will do this.
You are white flame? Oh, that's so yesterday. Check out this purple one.
It's the new black.
And that concludes the energy
field. We're done then.
The energy field is going to be completed at the crown chakra.
We're not going for the other ones.
Yeah, and that is where we're stopping.
There's no way to get to the other ones if we don't do these basic ones. We would fry ourselves. So the 7 basic system, then the 12.
Next year.
Next year. That's optimistic.
We're an overachieving group.
Overachievers.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys. That was good. Yeah.